It's time for Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, the greatest automotive podcast in the known world, with Ron Foreman, Brady Wright, and Steve Johann. Let's find out what's going on this week.
Hey, here's what's happening. It is Tuesday, March 16, 2021. Brady Wright, Ron Foreman, your host, Steve Johann, the producer, joining literally millions. This is the 179th episode of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. We're on iTunes, iHeart Podcast, Spotify, of course, Gab. .com, Cloud Hub, you name it, we're there. Podomatic.com is our host site. No matter where you get podcasts, you can get us from there. Thanks for liking and following our Facebook page. Most of you probably get to us through our Facebook link, which is pretty cool. Right now, our first segment is, as always, Back to the Blacktop. That's where Steve comes up with cool stuff that's happened in the industry. What is happening today, my brother?
Well, Uber update. Uber UK has agreed to pay drivers a minimum wage of less than $13 an hour, plus traditional benefits, probably less than what a taxi driver makes. But now they are confirmed. They are employees. So that's the Uber update. Now,
so that means they can get benefits, theoretically.
Yes, it does.
So they unionized? Are they unionized?
We don't know. It just says they're going to get $13 an hour. That's UK money. So that's not a lot. Anyway, so Audi numbers are out. According to the company, March financial report, it made $3.2 billion in 2020. Now, that's down from the $5.3 billion they made in 2019. But, folks, they still made money. And I think every company out there made money in the car sector, not as much as they did the year before. And the news from the auction block, you guys are going to like this. Big Ole, world-famous purpose-built Bronco, will make its debut at the Macomb Indianapolis auction on May 14th through 22nd. And for those who do not know, Big Ole competed and won several Baja races during the early 70s. It was built by Bill Strope and driven by Parnelli Jones. And Big Ole's namesake comes from the gold and white Olympia beer paint scheme. Remember that one, guys? That was like a big thing out there.
And did you know that they have just decided to, for now, discontinue Olympia beer?
Yes, they did. And they haven't been made in Olympia for ages.
Yeah, it's been a while, yeah. But yeah. Still, I mean, from the Pacific Northwest, that's a big deal. It was one of our local brands and, you know, went national. But yeah, that's a sad commentary.
Well, let's put it this way. If you watch the old 60s, late 60s biker movies and some of the Clint Eastwood movies that came out in the early 70s, Ole beer was prominently featured in those movies. They really understood brand placement in those days.
Oh, yeah, they did.
Well, I've titled this story, While the Poor Get Poorer, the Rich Go Faster. Supercar maker McLaren has announced it will be offering its GT3X race car in an updated, wickedly fast version known as the McLaren 720S GT3X, cranking out 740 horsepower, coupled to a six-speed sequential transmission and a body that weighs in at 2,668 pounds.
That's Hellcat territory in a Volkswagen.
Yes.
Basically.
And the only downside is it can't go on the road and it can't go compete as a race car. It can only be driven on a track as a track toy.
Right. And wait, what does it cost?
It didn't tell me. It didn't say.
If you have to ask, I guess.
Right. It's for when I said when the poor get poorer, the rich go faster. So if you have to ask the price, you are not rich enough to buy one of these.
Well, I'm never going to be rich enough to buy one, but it would be interesting to how much a track toy that you can't take on the street or race is going to cost.
But it's going to look really nice in somebody's mezzanine, someone's living room. It's going to look really nice there.
I could make one out of fiberglass with no motor and it'd look just as nice.
Well, but you won't have
$3 million that it's probably worth.
Yeah, that's right. So speaking of numbers, the mileage numbers are in for the 2021 Jeep Wrangler 4XE Hybrid. Drum roll, please.
Okay.
It's a whopping 21 miles. On a full charge when running electric only. That's it. You will only get 21 miles on a full charge before the electric motor. Yeah, before the battery runs out.
21 miles? Well, I mean,
you're saving the environment.
But on the on the
strip mining lithium
on the gas slash battery mode, then you're not having any problems, and you're going to have a 350 horsepower.
Fine problems.
You can keep going. In other words, you're not going to have to stop after 21 miles.
I see.
Yeah, I'm looking at that, going, what is the sense? Oh, is that like a creep mode? So when you come in to ambush somebody, you put it on electric, you creep in, you do your ambush, and then you hit the 700 or the 350 horsepower engine combination, and boom, you're out of there in a quick time. I think that might make a great James Bond kind of vehicle.
If James wanted to go 6 miles an hour.
Yes.
How many miles can you get on the thing, on a charge?
Only 21 miles on a all electric. So if it only runs on electric, just the battery, 21 miles max. They were hoping for 25. They only got 21.
Oh, that would have made a lot of difference.
But on the hybrid mode, you can get probably a couple hundred miles, and you just fill in and get more gas.
Pretty anemic.
Thank you. Shall we say no more? No more.
I think.
And still more numbers are in. Federal judge in Washington, D.C. gave a final approval to a settlement that will cost Daimler AG $1.5 billion, here we go, for violating the Clean Air Act by evading California state law for cheating an emission test by employing unlawful defeat devices on 250,000 of its diesel-powered vehicles. And we've heard about this. I've been talking about it for a year. Now it's finally in. $1.5 billion. Ka-ching! They'll pay out. And lastly, I want to leave...
Volkswagen got caught with their pants down too, didn't they?
Yep.
Yeah.
And
cheating on that same
cheating
thing.
All that. That's exactly right. And then lastly, we leave off with this. Ohio-based startup Lordstown Motors finds itself in hot water as it tries to defend itself against claims made by Hindenburg Research, who has stated the EV truck maker faked and overstated claims that it has an advance order of 100,000 of its electric pickups that it plans to launch later this year. This has prompted angry shareholders who have filed at least 3 lawsuits against them for fraud, demanding compensation from the cash reserves that the company has, saying, "We want our money." So I think this sounds a little bit like our friends over at Nikola Trucks, who are also kind of in the same situation, telling people that we've got something ready to go, and they're far from having something ready to go.
No kidding. You kind of can't do that. They will catch you, and then people will be really upset.
They will.
About what you've done. So, and you'll be in jail. Ask Bernie Madoff.
Yes.
It didn't work for him either.
File bankruptcy, and that'll be it.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank you, Ron.
Just file bankruptcy on them, and then I'm it. Yep. Yeah.
Thank you, Ron. That's how these guys run. So that's it for this week's Back to the Blacktop. Coming up next, we have a great interview with 2 very cool guys you don't want to miss.
Indeed.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks for tuning in. Coming up on the Windshield View, we will talk with Stephen Knibial. Knibial. I'm pretty sure that's how we're going to find out how he pronounces his name. He's coming up on Horsepower Chrome and Rust. Don't go away.
D&L Restoration, a family-owned shop, is looking to add a talented, motivated body technician. If you're tired of working for an organization where good enough is good enough and feel you have more to offer, then D&L may be a great fit for you. The ideal candidate will have a solid foundation in automotive refinishing and be relentless in the pursuit of show-quality bodywork, panel alignment, and panel fit. For the list of qualifications and to apply, go to RestoreYourCar.com. That's RestoreYourCar.com.
This is Jerry Heasley, and you're listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, the greatest show I've been on in at least the last year.
Cartoons Magazine is back. You know those crazy car comics from the past. They've returned in the all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of brand new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine full of one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available at your local comic book store, newsstand, and directly through Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com. That's cartoonsmag.com, where you can subscribe to a whole year's worth of fun. Cartoons Magazine, there's nothing else like it.
Attention, men under the age of 35. You know what really impresses the ladies? When a guy has a few drinks and later gets pulled over for buzz driving. That could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. There goes let's grab dinner and a movie. Oh, I know. You drive more carefully when you're buzzed. You've proven that hundreds of times. A woman admires that kind of confidence. And you've practiced how to speak if a cop does pull you over. Slowly, clearly, and politely, like, good evening, officer. A woman admires that kind of foresight. And what woman doesn't find it adorable that you call it buzzed even though the law calls it drunk? You could kiss $10,000 goodbye, along with any chance of having a girlfriend. Because nothing says, I'm a catch, more than a guy who lives in his parents' basement and calls it my place.
My mind's out of gear, and my heart's in overdrive.
Horsepower Chrome is back with the first half of Windshield View. This week we are interviewing Steve Canabywell. And here we go.
Well, hey, it's good to have you guys on with us, Alberto and Steven. And tell me, guys, where are you at right now?
Well, I'm talking to you from Los Angeles in Manhattan Beach, sunny SoCal.
Okay. And Alberto?
I'm in Madrid right now, 1 a.m., but really good to be here today with you.
Excellent, excellent. And I got a lot of questions about Madrid, but... I have a friend that lives over in Spain. I can't remember where he lives over there, but he's on LinkedIn, so we do a lot of back and forth. So you guys have a really cool project. Tell us about your application, what it's called, where people can find it, and how it started.
Yeah, we've built the platform Roadster. It's a experiential social network for car enthusiasts, and basic premise is make friends and drive. So it's a really simple and cool place. You can download it on Google Play and the Apple App Store. And basically you just upload your car. You can find people that upload your car in your virtual garage, find people nearby with a similar or same car. And the idea is to meet in person and connect and share your passion. So that's basically it at its core, but it's got all kinds of other cool features with events and discovery on a built-in map that are perfect for car enthusiasts going out on a cruise or going for a meetup.
Man. So now, who was the inventor between you two guys? Was it a co-invented? Talk about that a little bit.
Well, we have been working together on this project since the moment that I from scratch, but the idea was from me back in 2017 when I got my first real sports car. And as Steve was saying, I was trying to find people to meet, to talk about my new car. And even though I was part of internet forums, I kind of felt that, this is really hard that in 2017, 2018, you need to go to an internet forum based on your brand and then try to, okay, let's open a thread and let's see if somebody replies in order to get some kind of quick feedback, meet people in an easy way. So that's where it all started.
So when I know about meetup groups, I mean, they got the coffee and cruise-ins and all that kind of now, but typically, it's like you just get a hold of your buddies or your Facebook or something and say, hey, you want to go for a cruise. But you saw more of a specific need. So talk about how that came about. Whereas, okay, you were saying the forums. And were you in the United States at that time? Were you over in Madrid at that time when you came up with the idea?
I was in the United States for 2 years, from 2014 to 16. That's where... when I met Steve, but when I came back to Spain, that the car culture is not as big as in the US. There are not many cars and coffee. It was even hard to know what's going on in the local track in that weekend. So it's not that easy like in the US, like, okay, maybe there's a local show that is happening every 2 weekends or every weekend, and at least you can go there. So this was more like, okay, yes, I'm on Instagram, but what should I do next? To just try to meet somebody else with a Porsche Cayman. That's the car that I got at that moment. And it was really hard. And I was like, nobody's talking to me. Like, I'm really into cars since I'm a kid. And then it's like, okay, nobody's recommending me any app. I was asking friends in people in forums, and nobody was into a built-in apps or just car people. So I thought, okay, let's do some research, and there's nothing like this. Let's make it happen.
Sounds really cool.
It does. And I think Ron and I both could understand if we lived in an area that had nobody around that we knew about that had the kind of cars, we'd be pining away to try to find individuals like ourselves. And so it was more out of a real driven need to find other individuals that were like-minded is what it sounds like, Alberto.
Yeah, totally true. Like, another thing that I think Steve kind of mentioned is that I also want to build something that takes you out from your phone and really start doing something that you are passionate about, because we are now everybody into like Instagram, TikTok, just consuming content, but not really enjoying the cars. That is what we really like.
So when you set about doing that, how did you start working on it on your own? Are you a programmer by trade? How does that work?
Well, when I got the idea, I just called Steve that I worked with him previously, and I know that he's really good at work and car guy too. And the idea started with like a sketch, doing like a paper, like, okay, how this should look, how should I discover, like, okay, this will have a map, and do it just in a notebook to do some sketch. And after that, we hire a designer to make it like a professional design that how this should be looking in a real app. And after that, we hire some external contractors to help us out because we are not programming ourselves.
So, Stephen, how did you get involved with it then when Alberto came on and said, this is what I have? How did you take that and say, I think we can do that? How did you come into that?
Yeah, it was funny because we were both working at a bank in Boston. That's where I met Alberto. And I had just left my job there. I was going to move to the West Coast and start a new career track. I was hanging out in Colorado in the meantime. And Alberto just called me randomly about this idea. And around that time, I was thinking, you know, I need to do my own project. I want to do an app of some sort. And we both love cars. And he just came out of nowhere with the idea, and I was ready to jump on board. So basically, you know, I didn't have anything else to do at that time. So I jumped on a plane and went over to Spain, and we hashed out the idea. And just about a year after that, we had our beta rolling out and people excited and, you know, starting to get people connected on the app.
So That's wonderful. I mean, that's out of necessity came this idea, and now you have an app. And so when did you officially launch it then?
So we did the beta in June of 2018.
Right.
And it was closed at that point. And in August 5th of 2018, we went to a local car show here in SoCal. We were both here, Supercar Sunday. That's a popular one around this area. And that's where we did our first, that was the day that we launched. We had a bunch of people there at the show get on board and opened it up via, you know, on the internet and started bringing people on board.
So is it area specific? Like, I'm in Gold Bar, Washington, and if I get on your app, do I just say that where I'm from and what kind of car I have, and then...
Yeah, so you know, being a social network and getting people connected in person, there's obviously some places that are more dense than others, and we're really focused right now on California. We've got a big base in Texas and Florida, and then also the UK and Spain are also big places. We do have even up like in Seattle and Washington area. There's actually quite a few people on. It's not as big of a bubble as down here in sure. SoCal. Sure. But yeah, you get on, you...
So
you
can, hold on. I'm going to butt in. We've got our break coming up here, and I don't want to miss out on this, Stephen. So hold that thought. We're going to come right back with more of the show and our two guests, Stephen and Alberto.
Hey, you guys, we'll be right back with Steven and Alberto with more of Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
You're into cars, you love a good time, and you'd rather build it than buy it. You just might love the Rad Bastards. We're a family-oriented, nonprofit organization. We believe in 1969 and older, in the rough is enough, real steel and iron, old-school, traditional hot rods and rat rods. We get together, have fun, help each other build, and cruise like crazy, because that's what car clubs are supposed to do. The Rad Bastards are a new class of old-school, and our signature event is the Infestation every July. Join us at cruise-ins all over the Puget Sound and on the Rad Bastards Car Club page on Facebook.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You're bringing your daughter to her favorite pop star's concert. Do you A, wear earplugs?
Isn't this fun, Dad?
I have a soft pretzel.
B, remember the moment with matching concert t-shirts.
That's going to be $180.
Or we can just take a photo.
C, show her how you used to do concerts.
We're going crowd surfing!
I can't, it's too heavy!
Oh my God! Ah.
Or D, just roll with it.
Woo! Justin! Look at us, we're over here!
Justin! OMG! He just looked, I love you, Justin! I love you!
When it comes to parenting, there are no perfect answers. But that's okay, because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information, contact You Gotta Believe at YouGottaBelieve.org.
Nurse, set up an IV. And you, her boyfriend, you were the driver?
Yes, doctor, but I didn't mean to hurt her. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Just buzzed? Oh, then your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie, I feel great.
She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the app.
Yes, we are. We're back with the second half of the Windshield View on Horsepower Chrome and Rust, and our conversation with Stephen Knabiel and Alberto Marino continues. Well, we were just talking to Stephen on the other side, and Stephen, pick up from where you were saying, because Ron, you asked if you were in Gold Bar, which he is, right, and he wanted to hook up with other fellow rat rodders. Would
or
your app?
Car enthusiasts.
What's that?
Or regular car enthusiasts, or a local car show, or something like that.
Right. So, explain how you're focused on certain regions and kind of going out from there.
Yep. Sure. Yeah. So the app is really tuned to be more local focused. So when you join on the app and enable your location, it already kind of has an idea where you are, and you upload your car to your virtual garage, so we know what you have, what make and model and year you've got, and it already starts trying to suggest other people nearby as well as groups that you can join that are more locally focused. We also have a Discover feed. It's a content feed that you can see photos and events that are happening in your area. So everything is really tuned to try to get you connected locally. There are, of course, you can see national groups, national content, and even global groups and content. But
so it's called Roadstar.
The idea is to really focus it on your local area.
It's called Roadstar. That's the name of the app.
Roadster.
R-O-A-D-S-T-R.
That's right.
.io.
That's right.
And what I like about it is very focused in on your location. So that means it's built in to build friendships and gatherings in your locale. So Gold Bar, Sultan, maybe Monroe. My area is Linwood, so it'd be my demographic here. And that way, when people are hooking up, it's like, oh, that guy's just down the street, or that guy's a couple miles down the road, rather than somebody that's 25, 30, 40 miles away or 50 miles. It's going to be difficult to get together. It sounds like it's all about building that camaraderie right then and there. And then you guys meet up and do what you want. Is that really what you guys were focused on?
Yeah. And it's, you'd be surprised. People will drive a long ways
to, oh, yeah.
to meet. And I would say, especially around here in SoCal, around LA, where we have a nightmare traffic normally, it's people will drive. I've had people come up from San Diego to go on drives. And that's a 2 hour drive at best, just to get up here to do that. People love to connect over a shared passion. And that's really what we're trying to do, is have a platform that's just for car enthusiasts, just for people that share that platform, to be able to find each other and meet and, you know, make friends and drive. That's really the focus of it.
Really cool. Sounds really cool. Can't wait to get on your app.
Download. Yeah, sounds good. Yeah. Get the rat rods going on there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because it's a whole different breed. Every group's a breed. Alberto, I got to come back to you. You're in Madrid, Spain, and I know that with all the restrictions that the governments have laid on all the countries around the world, I know that my friend, where he's in Spain, he's limited, or he was, I don't know, he was maybe, limited on the geographic area that he could go out. He now got his motorcycle back in, and he's going along further out. But how have you had to deal with that? Are you in Madrid? Are you limited into your locales? Can you meet up? Or talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's the, well, now the restrictions are a little bit less hard than the previous months, now that the third wave is almost over. But you can move like your whole province, that is the whole community of Madrid. At some point, there were some days that you cannot even move like from your town, at town level, but now it's quite okay, because Madrid is big enough and the other provinces, so it's not that bad. You can drive at least for 2 hours.
Oh, wow. That's a lot better. So how many people in your area that you meet up with now on a regular basis?
Well, on Roadster, like I think our community in Madrid is around 15,000 already.
Wow.
And just to give you an example, yesterday night I posted an event that is going to be a drive for Porsche and BMW owners. And in just one day, I got already 47 attendees that are coming to the drive in a few days.
Cool.
That is, those are great numbers. I mean, that is that is great numbers. And Stephen, how about you down there in SoCal? You're pretty much wide open, like up here in the Seattle area. But yeah, what's your car? What is it you drive?
I'm in a Porsche Boxster Spyder, right. So it's a perfect SoCal car. You know, it's nice. And it's a manual, a stick shift, and naturally aspirated, and the exhaust echoes perfectly off the mountainsides. But yeah, you know, we've got a really active community. Just this last weekend, there were about 40 events happening in this area on the app. And yeah, it's been great. You know, one of the things I love is when a new user gets on, attends an event within a couple days, and has met a whole new set of friends. So I've seen that happen many times on my drives, and I've made, you know, I moved here to SoCal 2 years ago. Most of the friends I've made have been through the app. So,
wow.
It's working for me.
now, and you guys both are Porsche owners, correct? Then, am I getting that correct? So are you finding certain demographics, certain car enthusiasts, makes and models tend to glob onto the app, or are you seeing it slowly expand into reaching all the realms, since car enthusiasts make up a huge gamut of different types of groups, whether it's mini trucks, Porsches, Shelby Mustangs, rat rods, classics, you name it. There's probably 100 groups, styles, whatever. Are you seeing people coming on from the different divergent groups and joining the app and meeting up?
Yeah, I think Steve.
No, go ahead, Alberto.
Okay. No, I think since the very beginning, like it was very varied, the geographical style of the cars and people, like it's totally varied. Like we have people with supercars, people with hot hats, with really classics. I would say that maybe classic is not the biggest because, like, usually are usually, at least in Europe, owned by older people that are not so used to use mobile apps. But yes, it's really like we have different type of people and cars, and that's the cool thing that we are improving the app as much as possible to do that matching perfectly, because we know it matters, not only the local aspect, but okay, when you get on board, you want to see people that are likely to be like you in terms of having similar cars, similar interests. So we are really working on that. And of course, you, whenever you are free to decide how you want to meet with. So whenever you like this example that I just said, you can create a meetup or a drive that is totally open, that anybody can join, or you can just say, hey, I want to just meet with people with classic cars, and only people with classic cars could join, right?
Or if somebody is a part of a Camaro club, then they can just all the Camaro guys or all the Firebird guys. And it would make sense, you guys with a Porsches, you're there, not you like to drive. I mean, this is the thing that about what I have seen with sports cars, a lot of certain cars, they love driving and driving hard. Whereas the guys with the classics, they like to park, show and shine, like to watch. Although we'll do cruises, like Ron and I, we do plenty of cruises where people like to cruise around. But you're not going to take a Tri-5 or something like that in hit those twisties. So it would seem to me that you are, because of the nice thing about your app is you're like building in, hey, like-minded people, someone like the Porsche guys, you can meet up with other people with the same handling and driving and gather together. I mean, that I love the idea, because some of us like to sit and drink coffee, others like to drive. And then I don't want to be remiss. You also have an app now for the motorcycles. It's similar. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, that's right. We did launch a sister app called Rocker. Right now, it's only over in Spain at the moment, but hope to be releasing that here soon.
I would think.
That group, you know, motorcycle guys are even more crazy about their passion than the car guys.
And they're very, very niche oriented. I used to do a show for 10 years about motorcycles, and I'm telling you what, if you don't, each group, they think they are God's gift to earth, and they don't want to really have anything to do with the other group. It's just very, very funny how that works within the motorcycling world. Very picky. But that's okay. That's acceptable. Yep. So back to where you guys are at. What is the cost of joining the app? Is it a download, and do you get it at app stores and stuff?
Yep, it's free for download. Anybody can join. Just need an Android or an iPhone, and you can be on.
I just tried to go on as a download www.roadster.io. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. But you can go to the Apple App Store or Google Play and just search for Roadster, R-O-A-D-S-T-R.
You probably go better off the App Store.
Yes,
sir. Yep. So how do you build revenue off of your platform?
Well, we're starting with a variety of there's several different ways we can do it. Right now, we're working with automotive manufacturers in Spain. That's where our team is mainly based at the moment, and we're helping them organize curated events that bring leads from the app. And we've been very successful with that so far. We're doing branded content with some of them as well, in promotions. And eventually we'll be using the app as kind of a offer marketplace where you can find and take advantage of good deals related to automotive. So it'll be mostly through referral fees and through that marketplace.
Word of mouth is the best form of advertising there is. So if that's sounds like right, you're on the right track. That's really cool.
Yep. Yeah. It's just a, I know I'm going back to it, but it's a very rewarding experience when you see somebody else telling another person about your app or inviting their friends or getting excited about what's going on in there.
So, Alberto, now the things you've got, like you said, a 2-hour driving area and that kind of thing, and things are opening up. How many gatherings have you been able to, even in 2020, were you able to hook up and spend out there, you know, a couple dozen, 20 or whatever?
No, we were able to do gatherings, small ones, like for example, big events at tracks have been stopped for a year already. And
sure.
But apart from those, like if you don't go crazy and you don't do like cars and coffee with 100 or 200 cars, that's the things that you cannot do now. But just meet up with 10, 15, 20 cars and do a drive, that's totally fine.
That's the same thing here. We've got the same thing. We just get together in small groups and everybody just does their thing and no problems, just no big, huge gatherings where mm-hmm. you draw attention. And yeah, same here. We've done the same thing. We've had some cruises up here in our neck of the woods because we're just in the Seattle area, Washington. We had a couple cruises that were... I don't know.
One cruise around Lake Stevens.
Yeah, how many was that? 900 people or abouts?
It's about well they had 900 show up, but it rained the first time, so we only had 150 people
right.
to show up, but it was still cool.
And everybody pretty much just cruises, so and that's a slow cruise, unlike what you guys would do. Is let's say you choose a mountain or a twisty road and say we're going to hit it for an hour. Off you go. We have those roads around here, but there's, and we know guys that know our show that would probably jump on it or maybe even part of your app already. You said you're focused in on certain regions, and you've really pushed for Southern California and the Madrid area because you guys are both located there. But how does somebody really build out the app and build out their location? Is it just finding it? And then let's say they're like Ron, he's out there. He gets his buddies on there, and all of a sudden it just starts expanding out. Is that how it works?
Well, I'd say the number one thing is posting an event on the app is a great way to start getting people connected. And that's really where, you know, I'd say the most value in terms of being able to meet people comes from. In Seattle area, if you post an event on the app, people are going to be alerted that there's a new event on the app and will likely attend it. So that's kind of how it's like, oh, I can post this and people will come and let's do this again next weekend. And then you know, somebody else does it and keeps it expanding.
Well, there it is. Thanks so much for being on with us, guys. This has been wonderful. And we'll have to have you back on here in a while and see how things are going.
Sounds good.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to the greatest automotive information show in the known world. And a great hot rod story you can share with your friends is up next on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. D&L Restoration, a family-owned shop, is looking to add a talented, motivated body technician. If you're tired of working for an organization where good enough is good enough and feel you have more to offer, then D&L may be a great fit for you. The ideal candidate will have a solid foundation in automotive refinishing and be relentless in the pursuit of show-quality bodywork, panel alignment, and panel fit. For the list of qualifications and to apply, go to restoreyourcar.com. That's restoreyourcar.com.
This is Mark Mathot from Cartoons Magazine, and you're listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
I want to thank my mommy for loving me so much.
For taking me to the doctor when I broke my foot.
For leaving me alone when I wanted to be alone.
And now, as a grown-up, I'm thankful for being able to take care of you, my dear mom. For taking you to your therapies. For understanding that sometimes you simply want to be alone.
Roles change without us noticing. That's why AARP gives you the information to provide even better care for your loved one. Visit aarp.org/caregiver.
Cartoons Magazine is back. You know those crazy car comics from the past. They've returned in the all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of brand new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine full of one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available at your local comic book store, newsstand, and directly through Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com. That's cartoonsmag.com, where you can subscribe to a whole year's worth of fun. Cartoons Magazine, there's nothing else like it.
Okay, forest animals, kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay, squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org.
It's time for Cars Confidential, another great story from Lance Lambert, Fenders, Fins, and Friends. Let her rip, Brady.
This is a good one. This is a good one. Lance always writes great stuff. This one is called, interestingly enough, I'm not sure it's about cars. It's called Pedal Passion, and I think it's bicycles. I think it is.
Oh, no.
My wife's husband is turning into Pee Wee Herman. Well, there, that answers that. Lately, I've taken an interest in old bicycles, mainly those manufactured in the 40s up through about the 60s. I'm not sure why it just happened. Lance does this.
He takes off on a lot.
Odd tangents.
Yes.
There are already 5 bicycles in my home, none of which I ever ride. Jan, my bride of 36 years, occasionally dusts off one of our aging 10-speed spindly butt busters and pedals along one of the local bike paths that dissect Seattle. On her return, she says how much she enjoyed the ride and then returns all 10 speeds to the bike menagerie. A year or two later, this adventure and comment is repeated. I have little interest in participating in the ride because it just seems like too much bother. We're not going to say anything about whether or not he might fit on one of those little tiny seats.
We won't go any further.
Why is it that I don't care about jaunts on one of our toothpick-framed multi-speed high-tech contraptions, but instead have taken a strong interest in old, clunky dinosaur contraptions that are heavy, bulky, and a bit silly looking? So what are you saying, Lance? What are you saying? It's a bicycle. When I was very young, about 8 years old, I became the owner of a brand new Schwinn Black Phantom bicycle. To the uninformed reader, this may mean nothing. To the informed reader, you know who you are. You began moaning in ecstasy at the words Black Phantom. This is the holy grail.
Sears 3-speed. That's my
of
speed.
Bicycles of that era. It was huge, heavy, gaudy, and the most expensive bicycle manufactured by Schwinn at the time. The informed also know that an average-sized 8-year-old boy and a Schwinn Black Phantom don't mesh very well. That black and red beauty was too big and too heavy for me to ride, so it sat parked in the basement waiting for me to acquire a few more pounds and inches. After a couple of years, I was ample enough in physical stature to control this rhinoceros of a bicycle. Those things were huge. They weighed about 30 pounds. The acquisition of the bicycle still remains a bit of a mystery. My father told me that he bailed out a friend out of jail, and to show his appreciation, the recently sprung jail cell dweller gave the bike to my dad. I have a strong suspicion that the bike fell off the back of a truck.
Oh, yes.
Or came from some other dubious origin. I didn't care where it came from, and instead carried
one out of a ticket, buddy. I'll take that bike in the back.
Bike on Tacoma's Jeanette Street. As I mentioned, I got bigger, and the bike got ridden. After a few years, bicycles were no longer desirable to me, and they were eventually replaced by four-wheeled contraptions that were less reliable than my Black Phantom. Pedal fast forward to the recent past, and you'll find me paying renewed attention to old bikes. I think I have some of the interest that was spawned by the Pee Wee Herman movie, Pee Wee's Big Adventure, where perpetual child Pee Wee tries to find his stolen bicycle. Mr. Herman's bike was a custom-made bicycle that started out as a late 40s Schwinn frame that was then over-accessorized to the point of being a parody of tankers of the period. See, he's always been interested in hot rods.
Yes, he has.
That's what it is. Yes. You hot rod a bicycle, you hot rod a car, Say same thing. Tankers had the appearance of having a gas tank between the seat and the handlebars, and the tank frequently housing a push-button horn.
Ooh.
Pee-wee's bike had lights, multiple horns, saddlebags, full fenders, carrying rack, a dozen or more options and accessories popular during the 40s and the early 50s. These overdone bikes appeal to me not only because they're comfortable to ride, but because they're now reviewed as kind of a little eccentric and a bit unusual. They're typical American design for the period, short on practicality and long on overdone.
Oh, yeah. Just right up Lance's alley. My re-education
about old bicycles consisted of reading online and print histories of various bikes, watching auction results, and talking to a couple of bike collector friends who knew a good deal, you know, a good bike from a bad bike, and a good buy from a bad one. I was told about an upcoming bike swap meet, and I marked the date on the calendar at 7 o'clock a.m. on the swap meet day. I was roaming the rows of bike parts, carcasses, and pedal-powered memorabilia. The tankers were not plentiful, and those that I found were either totally worn out or very high prices. Then I spotted my old new bike. The second choice on my bike bucket list was a Schwinn Stingray. I had one of those. These are small bikes that were introduced by the Schwinn company in 1963, and they ranged from a stripped-down basic bike to over-accessorized models, which the manufacturer did everything possible to make the riders think they were straddling a chopper motorcycle or driving a hot rod Corvette. These were the ones that brought out the banana seat. Remember the banana seat?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah, and the TC handlebars.
Those were the ones.
TC handlebars, yeah.
Ape handlebars, yeah.
I had a Murray. I couldn't afford a Schwinn, but I had a Murray.
I had a knockoff, too, and actually it looked better than the Schwinn.
Well, a Stingray is not a tanker, but it is a step closer to getting one. I purchased a 69 Schwinn Stingray for a very reasonable price. It's an original basic model with the exception of a very well-done new paint job on the frame and forks. Has no accessories, but it does have the very cool banana seat and an ape hanger high-rise handlebars. I'm hoping that the Stingray will be followed by a new tanker-style bike in the future. Perhaps Jan will be accompanied on her new bicycle ride by Pee-wee Lambert.
I love Lance's stories. Every single one of them, you know, it speaks to his personality, but the books are fun. Fenders, Fins, and Friends is just one of his books. Grins, Gears, and Gasoline, of course, is the other. And you can get them on Amazon. You can get them on the Vintage Vehicle Show website, the Facebook page. Of course, you can go there as well. We appreciate him letting us read the stories.
Yeah,
course,
we do.
And, you know, we'll continue to do it as long as he lets us do that. Your bookshelf, by the way, would not be complete without one or two or 12 of those books. The Nathan Lipinski Weekly Trivia Question is next. We're going to have some fun with that. And if you put it in park and stick around, we promise to come back.
Man, do I love card night. You ready, boys? You got a king?
Go, Fish Dad!
Oh, come on! This is WWE superstar Titus O'Neil.
It only takes a moment to make a moment.
Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
We'll be back with more Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes. And you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to, are you? Kids, work, listening to the radio. You're busy, which is great because busy people can't get prediabetes. Oh my, I read that wrong. They can. Should have worn my glasses. So visit doihaveprediabetes.org and take a short test, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Looking for a job worth talking about? Teaching is creative, collaborative, and intellectually challenging. See why teachers have better work stories at teachdfw.org and learn more about becoming a teacher. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
Did you hear the news? Cartoons Magazine is back. Yep, those car-crazy comics from the past have returned in an all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine filled with one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available directly through the Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com.
I'm jumping in with my clothes on.
Most party fouls are pretty dumb, but if you decide to drink and drive underage, you could lose your license and your freedom. Learn more at ultimatepartyfoul.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Help us if you can. You're an El Camino. El Camino man. Only you can understand. Help us if you can. You're an El Camino.
Only you, El Camino man. Mr. Johan, the yes, El Camino man. Yes. That would be you.
Yes.
I can hardly wait until you get that thing running. This is going to be, it's going to be a landmark day when that thing comes out. So this is, in fact, the final segment of the show. This is the Nathan Lipinski Weekly Automotive Trivia Question. Thanks to Nathan Lipinski for being such a great fan all these years. By golly, you know, we've got a whole bunch of trivia questions in this one. This is kind of an interesting one for a couple of reasons. First off, it's a tough one. The year 1965 was a landmark year for safety accessories on cars. Now, it wasn't that anything really, really huge came out. It's just that they finally kind of completed a full circle with safety equipment. By 1965, they had already instituted day-night mirrors, front seat belts, self-canceling turn signals, all kinds of things that made the cars safer. But the one thing that they hadn't done and did not do until 1965 was seat belts in the rear seats.
Oh, wow.
So prior to that, if you had a crash, everybody in the front seat was fine, and the passengers in the back seat rattled around like BBs in a garbage can. Yeah, all of a sudden they're in the dashboard. It's like, where did these guys come from? So they finally got it down. It became standard equipment in 1965, rear seat belts on most cars. It wasn't even an individual manufacturer. By that time, you may remember Ralph Nader had gotten involved in safety and everything. And
the Corvair.
Well, yeah, not that Ralph did some bad stuff,
nope,
but he did bring to mind, to foreground some of the things that were probably a good idea to make safer in cars, and seatbelts was just one of the obvious things. Yep. So nobody got it, but that's okay. This is actually a great opportunity for us to talk a little bit about what's coming up. We're going to take a couple of weeks of a break because we are retooling the show to make it leaner and meaner and more. It's kind of like we're taking the whole show and we're putting it in Ron's garage.
Yes.
And we're going to put a
we're
turbo
gonna chop
in it and jack it up.
Yes.
And it's going to come out like a gasser.
Yes.
So nothing really is changing, except everything's going to be slicker and cleaner and smoother. So in a couple of weeks, we'll be back. We're going to be talking about this on the Facebook page. And by the way, the trivia question is not going anywhere. If you stick with us, you like the trivia question, if you like the stories, they're not going anywhere. We're just going to make everything a little bit smoother.
Yep.
The Facebook page will still be the venue for, if you're a winner on the trivia question, your 8x10 color glossy photograph of you with the Horsepower Chrome and Rust Barn Find Dust Can will still be there. And by the way, when we do these things, you can still get to us at contact@horsepowerchromeandrust.com. You can still send us a Facebook message or any other method that you know you'd like to get in. If you think of things that you'd like to have us do for the show, please let us know, because we do this for you. And it's been fun. We still reach over 1 million car enthusiasts every week. We're still in the top 10 of all the automotive podcasts on Podomatic. We thank you for all of that. Again, contact@horsepowerchromeandrust.com is the email for the show. We thank you for liking and following our pages. And thanks to Stephen Canibuel for chatting with us this week, and his buddy Alberto, all the way from Spain.
I know.
Mucho gusto, Alberto. You can find his app at Roadster, roadstr.io. And it's a really cool app, something you'd be beneficial if you jump down on it. Feedback and questions, of course, can get sent to our Facebook page. For Ron Foreman and Steve Johan, we will be back. I'm Brady Rice saying keep your eyes on the road, your hands on the wheel, your foot to the floor. Drive fast, take risks, stick with us. We'll be back with another Horsepower Chrome.